just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. The Gospel of John, chapter number 20. Amen. I appreciate all the singing. We've had a lot of singing, and I don't mind having a lot of singing if you don't mind having about an equal amount of preaching. I don't think it's right to, try to have one override the other, or especially, if anything, not shortchange the preaching of the Word of God, because that's what God's chosen to save sinners. Amen. And we're not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Not ashamed of the gospel. And we ought to be glad for the preaching of the Word of God. So we're going to be looking in John chapter 20 and in John chapter 21 this morning for our reading. I'm going to give you just the initial text. First, we're going to look at the first 8 verses of chapter 20 and then the first 7 verses of chapter 21. We'll read these responsively, and I'll try to preach from these. I'm preaching on this thought. I'm glad Brother Philip chose that song to sing. I figured we might would sing it sometime today. But the first line of that song says, "I serve a risen Savior." That's what I'm preaching on this morning. I serve a risen Savior. John chapter number 20, verse number 1. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed." Amen. We'll stop there in chapter 20. Now go to chapter 21 and these first 7 verses. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." We'll stop there in verse number 7 in our reading. Brother Herford, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, thank you, Lord. Help, Lord, please. Yes, help, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Well, as I said, I've taken my title from that first line of the song we sang, I Serve a Risen Savior. I want to look at 5 points, if I can, 5 things I'm going to deal with in chapter number 21. All of these will be right. We'll just do it expositorily, looking and pulling these things out and looking at these verses. Now, in the first reading that we read, John chapter 20, I wanted to read that because that is the first time that they knew that he was risen. Mary Magdalene and the other Gospels tell us there's other women with her. John only mentions her, but they went to the tomb early in the morning, a great while before it was day, and they were wondering who's going to roll the stone away. But when they got there, they found the stone already gone, and the Lord was gone. I personally believe the Lord got up before the stone rolled away. He didn't have to have the stone rolled away to let him out. Matter of fact, when he showed up to them that night at the ending of that Lord's day, that first day of the week, and that evening when he showed up with them, they had all the doors shut, and he just appeared in the room. He doesn't have to have doors open. He is the door. Amen. Amen. And so I believe he was already up and out. Amen. My dad said that he's up and out and about. Amen. On that Easter Sunday morning or resurrection day that we talk about. But Mary Magdalene quickly ran to Simon, Peter, and John to tell them that something had happened. She did not know immediately that the Lord had risen. She thought somebody had come and gotten his body and wasn't sure where he was laid, she said. And so they, as you know, they run to the tomb also, and Peter rushed in. John stopped, got there a little earlier, but John stopped and waited. Peter rushed in like Peter would do, and he not only saw the clothes laying there. John saw that from outside, but he saw the napkin laid over by itself. By the way, if somebody stolen his body, they wouldn't have undressed him. They wouldn't have folded the napkin up. They'd have been in a hurry to get out of there before the guards got them. Amen. But our Lord was not in a hurry because he wasn't afraid of the guards. Amen. If you're not afraid of death, you don't have to be afraid of the Roman soldiers. Amen. And so our Lord had folded that napkin and had walked out of the grave. But Peter rushed in, and the Bible said that. I love that verse number 8. The Bible says that John, that last phrase, saw and believed. I believe right there is where John got saved. Amen. I believe that. This is what I'm thinking about. Easter Sunday morning would be a good time to get saved. Amen. John the Beloved got saved on Resurrection Day. And it's a good time for others to be saved. So if you're here today, if somebody listening to the sound of my voice and you're unsaved, today would be a good day. You can recognize we have a risen Savior who is able to save you from your sin. Amen. John saw him and believed. Then the second text that I started with in chapter 21, as I said, we'll look at most of these verses really down through verse 22. We'll look at these in my message this morning. This took place some days or even weeks afterward. But it says this was the third time that Jesus showed himself unto his disciples. And so we know that he did it that first time on that first day, and then later that evening again that evening showed himself to all his disciples. And then in the next week, when Thomas wasn't there, by the way, next week Thomas was there. That's the second time he saw him. And so the second time that he showed himself to his disciples. Now this is the third time that we're looking at. It's not in the upper room. They're not hiding for fear. They're actually fishing. And the Lord showed up. Amen. And so I want to deal with these things if I can and show you some things, as I said, about five points. Jesus revealed himself to them as the risen Savior. By the way, he had a desire for them not to be fishing, but to be following him. He had called these men and specifically said to them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Other words, I'm going to elevate the job you've got. You're not just going to be normal fishermen now. You're going to fish for souls. You're going to fish for men. And they had gone back to that old way of living. Jesus is desiring for his followers to follow him. His followers to love him. His followers to serve him. We'll see this in all that. I've got, as I said, 5 things. First of all, I want to say this. I want to mention, as we look into this chapter, number 1, Jesus finds his sheep. in chapter 21, verse 1 and through verse 4, after these things Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. By the way, the Sea of Tiberias is the same as the Sea of Galilee. It's just depending on how that it's worded and how that it said this is to the Romans. Galilee would be the Palestinian name or the Israeli name. Verse number 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the two sons of Zebedee, there's John and James, and two other of his disciples, doesn't name them. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, look at this, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They wasn't looking for him, but he came looking for them. Amen. These men had been called, and they'd gone back. We might say they had backslidden. They had gone back. Back to doing what they had been called away from several years before this. They had forsaken these things, and yet now they've gone back to them. They had turned their back on the fishing trade in order to follow the Lord Jesus. Now they returned to fishing. By the way, I don't believe this was just a recreational trip. I believe these guys, we're going back to our old way of making a living. We got to live. We've got to provide for ourselves. It just looked like it made sense to them. It was a business decision that they had made. But our Lord had called them. So Jesus came to where they were because he had saved them and called them to a better business. Amen. He had something better for them to do, and they were attempting to go back to the old way of living. Now, here's what I thought. I just thought about several things in relation like to us, for example. There are probably Christians sitting on the church pew today that are not as dedicated as they have been. At one time, they had forsaken some things to follow the Lord. But now they've let things slip. Now they've allowed, maybe it's business, maybe it's family, maybe it's recreation, pleasure. What, they've allowed some things to come in that has caused them no longer to be as dedicated as they once were. You know what our Lord's calling? Our Lord's standing on the bank here to these disciples, calling them back to service, back to fellowship. That's what he's doing this morning here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Amen. On this Resurrection Sunday morning, I'm glad God is interested. Christ is interested in calling people back to his side. Maybe you started regressing a little bit. Amen. Perhaps you've not gone completely back to the world, but you started dabbling in things or at least thinking about things that you had once turned your back on. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to call you back to his side and back to his service. He has a job for you, by the way. He has a job. He finds his... See, by the way, if you are saved, you belong to Jesus. Amen. Now you might say, well, it's my life. I'll do what I want to with it. That's not the attitude of one of our Lord's lambs. You don't belong to yourself. What? No, you're not. You've been bought with a price. Matter of fact, a very high price. Christ bought and paid for us with his own blood. He bought and paid for us with his own life. And so we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. Amen. And I believe that God chastens his children. I know we've come to a generation that doesn't believe in spanking children, but God still believes in it. If a person can go on in sin, constantly sin, continually in sin, and not be chastened, the Bible says they're not his child. I'm not making that judgment. God made that judgment. And he told us how we can see. You know the tree by the fruit it bears. That's not judging, that's knowing. You shall know the tree by the fruit it bears. Amen. But here's the thing that I'm interested in. You may have been saved and yet you've strayed from God. And maybe the chastening hand hasn't fallen yet, but be prepared. It's going to fall unless you return to him. I'm glad before, and by the way, good parents, this is what good parents, before the parent rips the belt out and goes after you with the belt, they call to you. They send a warning. They give a statement. Right? God, in his mercy, before the judgment falls, God issues a command. God issues a reproof or a rebuke before he sends the chastening hand of God. And that's what he's doing, I believe, this morning. Amen. Then if you've never been saved, know this. Jesus is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's willing to save you today. Amen. I said, first of all, Jesus finds his sheep. Number two, Jesus feeds his servants. Baptist people love that. Come and dine, the Baptist calleth, come and dine. Look at verse number 5. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? By the way, it wasn't for him to know. He already knew. They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. By the way, he could have said, you shouldn't have been out there to start with, boys. You should have never went out. He could have rebuked them, but he didn't. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And ye shall find, and they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. By the way, why didn't Peter know it was the Lord? Because Peter wasn't looking through eyes of faith. He was looking through eyes of flesh. But John had saw and believed. And because John believed, he recognized the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of times we get in service and God starts moving and some people don't even recognize him. But if you're looking through eyes of faith, amen. John recognized him. Let me get back over there. And the other, let's see, let me find, where was that? Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came to in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid there. Jesus didn't need their fish. He already had fish waiting on them. Thereon and bread. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Amen. Jesus feeds his servants. Now, just as a byline, it talks about Peter being naked. I don't believe Peter was standing out there stark naked. He just wasn't clothed appropriately. Maybe in shorts, but not clothed appropriately. Right. You can't believe he's out there skinny dipping in front of all them men. They weren't even swimming. He's fishing. Right. But he didn't have all his clothes on that he should have had on. And by the way, when you start slipping on the Lord, and it's a good sign, when you start seeing yourself becoming a little bit more naked, revealing a little bit more flesh, you might be slipping. You might be letting things slip from your fellowship with the Lord. Amen. But here's my situation. Jesus not only found them, he fed them. Believers may go back to the way they've come, but they'll come up empty. The sins you used to love, you don't love them anymore. God changes you when he saves you. Amen. You'll come up empty. And so Jesus called to these disciples, asked them if they had anything to eat, knowing good and well that they were empty and that he had what they needed. Amen. I want to remind you, he's got what we need. Amen. He has got exactly what we need. And it's wonderful to me when I think about the fact that when Jesus found these straying sheep, he didn't beat them, he blessed them. He didn't berate them, he blessed them. Amen. He said, cast it on the right side of the ship. And they did, and they were blessed. They caught so many fish that they couldn't pull their net up. Amen. They caught so many, they had trouble drawing it back in. And John recognized that it was the Lord. Now, when they got to the shore, they saw that Jesus was there with a coal of fire. In other words, a fire that had already burned down, and there's fish on the fire. Amen. Our Lord had prepared for them bread and fish. He didn't need what they were going to the world. By the way, this is what he's saying. You can let business ventures take you to the world, and you may reap multitudes from those business ventures. But God don't need your multitudes. He can have what you need on the fire if you'll just follow him. Amen. Now, he didn't fuss at them. He didn't berate them or beat them, but he blessed them. And yet, he's trying to teach them a lesson. in all this. Amen. He had what they needed, and he is supplying their needs. And by the way, he's wanting to fellowship with them. We call that back there, we call it a fellowship hall. The reason we call it a fellowship hall, that's where we eat. Most Baptists believe fellowship means eating. You can't fellowship without a fork and a spoon. Right. What most people believe. But there is something about when you share a meal with somebody, there's a little bit more connection there. There's a little bit more communion in this thing. Amen. And our Lord's interested in communion with the disciples. Here's what he wanted them to recognize. They've gone back the way from which they've come, and don't they miss being close to the Lord. Don't they miss him handing them parched corn, him breaking the bread and breaking the fish and handing it. Don't they miss the fellowship with the Lord. Listen, if you've been away from God or if you're straying away from God, you're going to miss the fellowship with the Lord. So Jesus finds his sheep and he feeds his sheep. Number three, he fellowships with his sheep. That goes along with it. Verse 12 through 14, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So these disciples were not doing exactly what the Lord wanted them to do. They were not doing exactly what he had called them to do. And yet our Lord was not standoffish towards them. Amen. He welcomed them back. He welcomed them back to the fellowship. Matter of fact, he called out to them, come and dine. Amen. Amen. He wanted them fellowshipping with him. Amen. Now notice in verse number 14, it relates to us that Jesus had shown up to his disciples. This is now the third time. In other words, here's the point I get from that. Jesus don't just want a fellowship once in a while. He wants a fellowship again and again and again. And I'm glad for the repeated times when the Lord shows up. Amen. Excuse me. We're singing that song as the choir. Precious memories. We can look back at days gone by, meetings with the Lord, being in places and things like that, and be reminded of things. Matter of fact, when we had finished unloading Joshua's stuff and everything, was eating lunch, Melissa brought out a photo book about when in 2007 when we went to the Philippines and Cambodia and all that, and Joshua was talking about some of the things as we was looking through those pictures, and on April 18th, on 2007, that would have been my 41st birthday, God privileged me to be able to preach to 5,000 people at one time. Not over radio, in a crowd, in a building, under a roof, didn't have walls, but 5,000 people. It wasn't because of me, it's a big meeting, I just got to be one of the little preachers. But we went from there, that next Sunday, we went to a house. And when they found out that American, that a white man's coming to preach to them, they filled the house. The whole living room was full of people, standing room only. The kitchen was full of people, standing room only. The front porch was full of people, standing room only. People were standing out in the streets. They had the windows open. People were standing around the building. Not because I was a great preacher, but they wanted to hear something that they'd never heard. I'm telling you, I'm glad God shows up every now and then and blesses us with his presence. Amen. And we ought to gather in. We ought to flock in. We ought to crowd in to be a part of that. Amen. But then you may go long times. I'm talking about precious memories. There may be times between when we miss that. We ought to be praying for it again and again and again. Jesus shows up to fellowship. It's a blessing when the Lord shows up. He offers sweet fellowship to his disciples. Amen. Jesus not only finds his sheep, feeds his servants, and fellowships with his saints. I believe I've been saying sheep every time because initially that's what I did, but I started. He finds his sheep, feeds his servants, fellowships with his saints. Number four, Jesus forgives our sins. Amen. Look at verse 15 through 17. And when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, by the way, it looks like alone. He's not talking to all them. He's talking to Simon Peter. And when he deals with you about sin, he does it personally. And he can get very personal. Simon, son of Jonas, he knows who you are, where you've been, where you've come from.
Look at this. Lovest thou me more than these? Now, I don't know if he's pointing to the fish. I don't know if he's pointing to the ship and the business. I don't know if he's pointing to the other disciples. But I would say all of this. Do you love me? Do you love me more than this old way of living? Lovest thou me more than these? Let me find my place. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, why did Jesus ask him three times if he loved him? Because he denied him three times. He's reminding Peter of his sin. Now, that's not comfortable. And I know the world doesn't like that. As a matter of fact, nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. It is not comfortable when God reminds us of our sin. But he does it so we can confess it. So that we can deal with it. Not just a blanket, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. No, that we can actually, as he brings them to our mind. By the way, he don't bring up every individual sin, but he'll bring up something. He'll bring up something that you got to be willing to turn to him with. Amen. And he did in Peter's case. Do you really love me, Peter? Do you really love me? He confronts Peter. That's the best way to say it. Confronts him three times about his love because Peter had denied him three times already on the night of his arrest. Amen. I think this is my belief. I believe he's given Peter a chance. He's given Peter a chance to remember and make a decision, a conscious decision. I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. Amen. He has an opportunity to deal with his failures. Now, he can't go back and fix that, but he can say from this point on, Lord, I love thee. Thou knowest all things. I'm with you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And so, again, what does it matter if he really loves the Lord or not? Because he's asking Peter, Peter, you've denied me three times. And to be honest with you, it's almost like he's denied him a fourth time right here. Because he's turned his back on following the Lord and going back to fishing. Peter, are you going to leave me or are you going to love me? And Peter said, I'm going to love you, Lord. Amen. I'm glad he forgives our sins. Amen. 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 Peter had not only denied the Lord previously on the night of his arrest, but now Peter has led these other disciples into going back to their old way. Peter said, I go a fishing. And they say, we're in with you. If you're going, we're going. Amen. And he's being confronted. Jesus is confronting Peter about Peter's decisions. And he's requiring Peter to make up his mind which way he's going to go. Amen. He wants to make up his mind what he's going to do or who he's going to love. Amen. Now, it looks to me like, just a side note, it looks to me like Peter was a natural born leader. He was a spokesman. He'd speak out. Even if he hadn't thought it through entirely. He could say great things and he could say foolish things. Amen. That's why we can find hope in that, by the way. Because we do the same thing, don't we? Right? Everything you say, you don't hope is graven in stone. You hope some of it can be forgotten because you hate you said it. Right? And Peter was that way. But here's my point. Maybe you're not like Peter. Maybe you're not a natural born leader. But I'm going to guarantee you, if you've slacked up on God, if you've just eased up a little bit, there's somebody else that's following your steps. And if you do like Peter and repent and come back to the Lord, they might very well repent and come back to the Lord as well. Amen. You don't have to be a natural born leader. Somebody's following you anyway. That's the point. Amen. Amen. And we know there's not a one in this room. We got a good number in here this morning. There's not a one in this room that hasn't failed the Lord sometime or another in our life. And some of those failures have been massive. Amen. We've made a mess of our own life many a times. I'm glad our Lord
ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's what he said. He's alive. I'm serving a risen Savior. He can pray for me when I mess up. And he does. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. He is our advocate with the Father. He's our go-between. Amen. I am glad that he confronts us about our decisions, but he offers us an opportunity to restate our devotion. Amen. So Jesus finds his sheep. He feeds his servants. He fellowships with his saints. He forgives our sins. And last of all, Jesus focuses our service. He focused on Peter. Look here in verse number 18. Well, let me start back at 15. So when they had done, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I'll skip it. You know, all these three times. And he said, but here's what I want you to notice. Every time when Peter said, I do love you, Lord, Jesus said, then I got a job for you to do. It's not fishing. It's feeding. I got lambs and I got sheep. I got little ones and I've got older ones. And they need some help, Peter. Amen. They need some direction. All right, verse number 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, when you was a lamb, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou, you did what you wanted to do. You see that? Verse 18. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Look at verse 19. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. Amen. You know what Jesus is saying to Peter? Peter, when you was young, you did what you wanted to do. But from this point on, you're going to get older, but you're going to stay in the service of the Lord even when you get to where you can't do for yourself. When you get old and somebody else is going to have to lead you around. When you get old and somebody else is going to have to dress you. He said, you're still going to be in the service of God. He's telling Peter, there ain't no going back to the fishing business, Peter. There ain't no going back to the world. Stay with me. That's what he said. Focus on the job I've got for you to do. Personally, I believe that's why Peter wasn't scared when he's in there. Herod's going to kill him the day after Easter. You remember that? That's what the only time Easter's found in the Bible, by the way. And it's not talking about the resurrection of the Lord. It's talking about a pagan holiday. And our world's celebrating the pagan holiday today too, by the way. Yeah. But he had Peter bound and he was going to kill Peter with a sword. And Peter wasn't afraid. Matter of fact, when that angel came in to turn him out, he had to wake Peter up. Why was he sleeping? Because he knew it wasn't his time. He's going to be old. He's going to give his life. He knew he's going to give his life. But he's going to be an old man when he did. Amen. All right, let me read on verse number 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, look at this, follow me. You know what that was? That's the exact same thing he said to him when he first called him on the bank of the sea there, the bank of the lake. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll make you feeding my lambs. Follow me, and I'll make you feeding my sheep. Amen. Follow me. In other words, our Lord's desire has not changed. When he saved us from sin, he had a purpose for saving us. He had a job for us. Amen. We're not saved by works, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. He saved us for a purpose. He's got a job for us to do. Amen. And I know our world's getting darker. Our world's getting more wicked. I don't believe it can be long till the trumpet sounds and we get out of this old world. I don't believe it can be. But until that time, we need to keep doing what we've been told to do. Follow the Lord. He focuses the service. Let me keep reading. Verse number 20. Then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Peter always had a problem. He could walk on water keeping his eyes on the Lord, but he couldn't keep his eyes on the Lord. He looks around, sees the waves. Here he is, their Lord said, Peter, pay attention to me. And Peter looks off and sees John. Well, what about John? Jesus politely said to him, mind your own business, Peter. Really? Look at verse number 21. Verse 22. Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And he repeats those same three words. Follow thou me. Follow thou me. Peter had gotten
new direction in his life. It really was the old direction, but he'd gotten that direction back in his life. Amen. Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. He asked him three times, gave him opportunity to pronounce that he loved him. I'm glad Jesus gives us second and third chances sometimes. Amen. I'm glad he's a God of many, many chances. Amen. He had a calling upon Peter's life. By the way, he's got a calling on your life and mine as well. Amen. Amen. Peter was told that this calling is lifelong. Amen. I know I've heard Brother Hall say it. I've heard other older preachers say that there's no discharge in this war. There's no retirement. We may not be able to do what we have done, but we've got to keep serving God. Amen. He tells Peter, you know, there's a time you're young and strong, and there's going to be a time you're going to be old and feeble, but you're going to keep serving me. Amen. That's what God wants out of you. That's what God wants out of me. Amen. Now, this note, and I'm practically done. I want you to think about this. Here's Peter. He previously had denied the Lord three times. Now he's out there fishing. He's not dressed properly. He's led these men in the wrong way, and the Lord shows up rebuking him, in a sense. The Lord shows up reminding him of his sin. Peter might have thought, he's done with me. There's no way he'll use me now. Jesus said, Peter, follow me, follow me, follow me. That's what he said. In other words, I got a job for you to do, Peter. I'm willing to use you even though you've messed up, even though you've flawed yourself, even though you've made mistakes. I'm willing to use you. Amen. I'm glad the Lord still loves us and he's still willing to use us. Peter may have seemed to have wobbled on the axle a little bit along his life. He looks over at John and he says, what about this man? Jesus says, If I want him to stay till I come back, that's nothing to you. What he's saying is, don't be looking at John, be looking at me. And here's what I found out. And I'm practically done. I've noticed that sometimes when people leave a church, for example, other people start looking towards them instead of looking towards the Lord. Sometimes we get our eyes off. Well, just think about that prodigal son. That his brother never left home, but he never lost sight of where that little boy had gone. He knew everything that boy had done, whether it was real or imagined. He said he's wasted his substance in righteous living. He spent it all on harlots and wine. How'd he know all that? He's looking in the wrong direction. He's looking in the wrong direction. You know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to refocus. Now, I started off my message with this line. It was the first line of that song. I serve a living Savior. Are you serving a risen Savior? Now, you say, I believe in a risen Savior. That's one thing. But serving Him. Not just believing. Amen. Serving Him. Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, don't just believe in me. Serve me. Amen. Make something of your life to bring me glory. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. Have you believed on the Lord and been saved by the grace of God? Do you need to come to Christ for salvation? Call on Christ for salvation. If you are saved, are you serving Him? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the reminders as we studied this and thought about these things. Thank you for the reminders of your goodness and your mercies and your grace. Lord, I'm glad that you're a God not just of the second chance, but sometimes third and maybe even fourth chance. You give us time after time, you give us your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for being a merciful God. Father, there's folks here that need that. We all do. Lord, I pray you'd help some that are unsaved. Today'd be the day they'd call on Christ for salvation. They'd repent and believe the gospel. Be saved by the good grace of God. Lord, I pray for those that are saved. Then maybe they need to repent and do the first works. Get back to where they're supposed to be. They've left their first love. They've strayed a little bit. They've grown a little bit cold. And whether they realize it or not, somebody's following them in the wrong direction. Lord, I pray, draw your people back to your side. Find your sheep. Lord, I pray, bring them back to service. Focus, refocus our service, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.